All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Welcome to The Last Retort. Tonight, we have a special one, one I've been looking forward to for, a couple weeks now. So tonight, of course, we are joined by the famous Mike Enoch and the famous John Fashcroft. Now, they're going to be debating. They're going to be debating whether white nationalists should support the Palestinian cause or not.
Okay, so the debate topic is, should white nationalists support the Palestinian cause? Let's see. I wonder if they're going to actually define the word support. I wonder if they're going to explain to us what they think the Palestinian cause is. So far in this debate, it seems to me that they mean the cause of Hamas. Are they going to support Hamas in its military conflict with Israel? I think that's what they mean. Let's see what the word support means. In the dictionary, as a verb, 1. Bear all or part of the weight of, hold up. Such as in, the dome was supported by 100 white columns. Figures it's white. 2. Give assistance to, especially financially, enable to function or act. As a noun, 1. A thing that bears the weight of something or keeps it upright. Such as in, the best support for a camera is a tripod. 2. Material assistance. Such as in, he urged that military support be sent to protect humanitarian convoys. Within the context of this debate, the word support means to provide financial support, such as in the use of the word verb support, definition 2, give assistance to, especially financially, enable to function or act, or to provide support as a noun, definition 2, material assistance. I know that the word support is often used in the context such as moral support. But moral support is kind of like hopes and prayers, which is an idea that Mike Enoch and his pay pigs have mocked for many years. They mock the idea of hopes and prayers. So let's see if they ever address the actual meaning of the word support. Do you remember back last autumn when Mike Enoch and Stryker and other TRS people were promoting the idea, actually telling their listeners to donate money to Hamas? And remember, we looked up the website, which kind of looks like it's run by the CIA. It's crazy. The thing is that Hamas is listed as a terrorist organization by the American government and by the international whatever. I think the UN or somebody claims they're terrorists. Whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is that the American government lists it as a terrorist organization. And you better bet that those websites are being monitored. If you donate money or provide material assistance to a terrorist group, that's super illegal. And so, once again, I will remind you that what Mike Enoch is consistently promoting looks a lot like an entrapment scheme. He wants you to financially or materially support a terrorist group.
Whether they are fighting a common enemy, and therefore we should take their side.
Now, this bit that the host of this debate. I'm not sure who this guy is. This bit that he added in here should not be there. He seems like a really nice guy. I don't want to be mean to him. I really like his intro music. Sounds awesome. But he should not have added this into it, because he's actually adding questions. He's adding points to be argued. So now he's complicating the debate topic. This is not how you state a debate topic. He's saying
whether they are fighting a common enemy and therefore we should take their side.
He says whether they are fighting a common enemy and we should take their side. In the context of providing material support for Hamas, he's asking whether Hamas is fighting a common enemy with white nationalists, because remember, if you're not a white nationalist, this debate does not apply to you, and whether a white nationalist should take the side of Hamas. And he's already defined by support, which means financial or material support.
Or whether they are a foreign force that is not really in our favor. They are not pro-white. They do not speak for us. They will not fight for us. Why should we defend them? So I'm going to bring on the gentleman. Welcome, gentlemen.
He continues with more that he shouldn't have here. He says, whether they are a foreign force. Well, yeah, they're foreign to Americans, at least. I mean, I guess with these guys, they've got this sort of internationalist, white nationalist concept, which I think we've criticized that before. The internationalism of nationalism, it's nonsense. It's totally nonsense.
Or whether they are a foreign force that is not really in our favor. They are.
And then he asks whether they're in our favor. The Palestinians are in the Palestinians' favor. They have their own problems over there. I don't think they care about us, okay? Is Hamas, if you look at their charter and what their statements are, they're not in our favor at all. They're fighting for their own existence. So, yeah, it's, you shouldn't have put any of this in to the statement. Like, this is supposed to be a debate topic, right? This is the debate topic. This is what is at question. And he's complicating it and kind of messing it up.
Not pro-white. They do not speak for us. They will not fight for us. Why should we defend them? So I'm going to bring on the gentleman. Welcome, gentlemen.
He asks whether they're pro-white. And it's like, no, they're not. Are you crazy? They do not speak for us. They do not fight for us. Well, of course they don't. This is such a joke. He asks, why should we defend them? It's like, well, within the context of your debate topic, defend them. What do you mean by defend? You mean defend them? Like, are you going to go over there and be a mercenary for Hamas? Are you going to join? Are you going to go, like, you know, are you going to go to Lebanon and join up with Hezbollah and say, hey guys, I want to fight the Israelis with you? You know, what? You know, the vast majority of what these pay pigs have been all about is verbally defending them. It's basically an argument on whether you should simp for Hamas and cheer for them on the sidelines. And as far as I'm concerned, that's absolutely stupid and a waste of time. You know, you got to be, I mean, I you have to be so delusional about life to be like, yeah, I'm going to go defend them with my words on the internet against people that can think clearly.
Round one.
All right. Well, I'll go first. First of all, I think I saw the little blurb that you gave for the show, which was like Palestinians don't. The argument that John would be making, presumably, which I'm not going to try and put words in your mouth, but from that blurb was that we shouldn't support them if they're not supporting us. We shouldn't support people that don't support white interests, etc., etc. And what you applied to me was pretty accurate, but I think, you know, I'm going to obviously be expanding on that. First of all, I would say that there's a number of reasons to support the Palestinian cause. The first one is just basic humanity. Like, it's just like a human thing, non-ideological. Like, it's just, it's terrible what's happening to them.
Appeal to emotion. Mike Enoch starts with the bleeding heart argument. It's just basic humanity. That's ridiculous. This is the argument that the liberals have used, as well as a variety of other people have used for a long time to get us involved in all sorts of stuff that isn't our business.
Those Jews are doing to them, it's inhuman, it's monstrous. Like, just being pro-white doesn't mean you turn your hearts off or you're blind to cruelty and inhumanity elsewhere in the world. I think that's...
Appeal to emotion.
That just makes white nationalism look very ghoulish, and
it's ghoulish to not provide financial or material support to Hamas. So, but apparently it's not ghoulish when Mike Enoch and all of his pay pigs sit there and get all excited about watching Hamas kill Jews. It's, you know, it's not ghoulish for Mike Enoch to run a media company that promotes the ideas of gassing the kikes and shoving them into ovens for most of the last 10 years. That's not ghoulish. What if we don't care if you think it's ghoulish? This is some sort of fallacious appeal to perception or public opinion, I guess. Something like that.
It's also not generally how white people feel, and so
appeal to popularity. He's saying generally white people feel this way, and if you want to consider yourself white, then you should send money to Hamas.
So you're not going to convince many white people, bring them over by saying, oh, I don't care about things that are unjust elsewhere in the world. I don't care about other people. I'm purely only about myself. Like, that's not a common way that white people feel, and you're just not going to bring anybody over with that. So
if white nationalists support the Palestinian cause by sending them money or material aid, they'll get more people on their side? This is absurd. Send money to terrorists and you'll recruit more white nationalists. That's your argument, Mike? This is pathetic.
With these guys, you know, who are up against the most powerful nation in the world that runs the United States Empire, the military industrial complex and the military of the United States, and all this force is being brought to bear on them, and they are still up and fighting. You know, they're still coming out of their tunnels, ambushing these Jews, like blowing them up, putting grenades on their tanks. Like, the pure physical courage of these men that are actually out there fighting and killing Jews for their home.
This same argument is the argument that's being used to try to convince people to support the Ukraine. And Mike Enoch rejects that argument when it's applied to the Ukraine.
Basic morality and justice is on their side. It's also from a perspective of someone who's an underdog in a fight against a massive power system. It's very difficult not to sympathize.
Appeal to emotion. The guy who's been caught lying to everyone countless times and has ripped people off in scams is appealing to morals and justice. What the comedy of this Jew, man. He's something else, truly something else. From a biblical moral perspective, it would be wrong for us to interfere with God turning his enemies against themselves.
Land is something that I just can't help but admire, and I feel like anybody can admire, It's something that in the past white nationalists have admired. I know Pierce admired it, Rockwell admired it. You know, Hitler said things about the Arabs that he was supportive. Also, many
here he name drops Pierce, Rockwell, and Hitler. This has nothing to do with the debate question. He's saying that Pierce, Rockwell, and Hitler all admired what? Hamas didn't even exist back then. What are you talking about? How about you come up with some sources? Give me some quotes from each one of those individuals to support your argument. He's not. He's name-dropping names that he believes that white nationalists will view as an authority. Oh, and Hitler too, right? Yeah, the guy that was all about paying the Jews to go to Palestine. This is a terrible argument. Like, who falls for this? The guy who was like, it's really important that we get the Jews out of our own countries, and I'm willing to pay them to go to Palestine to get them out of his own nation's hair. Because he was an actual nationalist.
Many Nazis, you know, Francis Parker Yockey, after he fled being an occupation lawyer in Europe, actually became part of the Nasser government in Egypt, as did Otto Ernst Remmer, who was, in fact, one of the Nazis that foiled the July 20th plot on Hitler's life by von Stauffenberg. So there's a history of actual real national socialists, actual ideological national socialists, supporting the Arab nationalist cause and the Palestinian cause against the state of Israel. So they certainly did not think.
So now he gives you a couple of examples of people who supported the Arab nationalist cause. He appeals to them being national socialists, which Mike Enoch is not a national socialist at all. And he is giving you an example of somebody who's providing material support for the Arab nationalist cause, which is what he wants white nationalists, presumably in America and wherever, to do. He wants you to go to the Middle East like these guys and join a terrorist organization to fight for their people, because somehow that's a good idea. Nasser might have fought Israel back in the 1960s, but this is 2024. And Egypt has made it very clear that they simply don't care about the Palestinians at all, let alone any vague Palestinian cause. This Arab nationalism that he's trying to invoke, they don't care about that for Palestinians. They just don't care. They just, like, please don't shove the Palestinians into the Sinai Peninsula. We don't want this problem. Egypt doesn't want to fight Israel. So this is apples to oranges that he's doing here. It's ridiculous. He's trying to create this idea that there's some sort of collective Arab nationalist cause, and because it's nationalist, you need to go over there and support the nationalist cause of the Arabs. That doesn't exist. Also, this is starting to look like shotgun argumentation, where he's firing off all these different arguments, and it's like scattershot. It makes it difficult for the person you're arguing with to respond to all of these things. And in addition, it also appears like he's playing games. Basically, this is like an equivocation fallacy. So, like I pointed out in the beginning, since they didn't define their terms, what is the Palestinian cause? Some Palestinians like a one-state solution and some like a two-state solution, and some would prefer to see the Jews pushed into the sea. So what is the Palestinian cause? Is the Palestinian cause equivalent to the Arab nationalist cause at the time of Nasser back in the 1960s or something, right? Once again, are we comparing apples to apples? Or is he doing an equivocation fallacy where he's trying to warp your perception of what the bounds of this argument is? Now, granted, like I pointed out in the beginning, the host of the debate helped to open the door for this kind of mushy thinking by adding to the debate topic unnecessary questions, where it almost looked like he was trying to summarize what he had seen of some arguments online to illustrate what the debate topic is. None of that's necessary. If you understand debate, then absolutely none of that is necessary. You have a debate topic. That's it. You let the people who are debating explore those issues if they so desire. If
this was something that was not our business or was not our problem. Additionally, the Palestinians are not really demanding anything of us. So the general sort of white nationalists, which is a sort of adjacent.
He says that the Palestinians are not demanding anything of us. I don't see them in a position to demand anything of white nationalists. They are requesting assistance from the U.S. government and from the international authorities at the United Nations and from various other NGO groups. They are requesting assistance. Palestinians are doing so. Now, once again, is he playing an equivocation fallacy? Is he equivocating between Hamas and the militant arm of Hamas and all Palestinians or the Gazans? Who is he even talking about here? You see the kind of brain damage that Mike Enoch creates. If you actually listen to this idiot and follow along with this stuff, you realize he's not actually being very clear about things. And that's on purpose. It creates a brain fog in the listener. And this is something that I've noticed a lot with PayPigs. They are extremely emotional online. And they cannot think clearly. They have this fuzzy brain fog. You're like, what are you even talking about? And this is where they get it from. But to say that Hamas or the Palestinians are not demanding anything of white nationalists, I think is true. I've never seen them specifically demand anything of white nationalists, you know, so, okay, I guess that's true, but it's not an argument as to why you should then materially or financially support Hamas. Oh, you see, Palestinians aren't demanding anything of you, so you should totally support them.
To libertarianism. Isolationist America first argument or Europe first argument is that we don't want to be funding Israel's foreign wars. We don't want to be the army of Jews of Zion around the world.
He says that the America first or Europe first argument is that we do not want to be funding these foreign wars for Israel and all that, right? What does that have to do with white nationalists? Because that's the American government doing that. So is he arguing for what white nationalists should do? This is the debate topic. White nationalists, should they support the Palestinian cause? Whatever that is. Or is he now shifting the focus of the subject to the broader body politic? Because now he's expanding out, you know, to American and European politics. So is he now expanding the scope of the argument? Because that's not the debate topic. The debate topic is whether white nationalists should support the Palestinian cause.
And they are the ones that are causing these wars in the Middle East, starting them using our blood, our tax dollars, our weaponry, everything that we did. And then what happens is, and if you read, I wrote a very long article on this. It can be found on.
And in this, what he's referencing here, how is it that if white nationalists support Hamas, that somehow, like, the government of America and the government of European countries will stop supporting Israel? Do you see how that doesn't make any sense? If you send money or material support, even your person, to Hamas, how does that stop the American government from supporting Israel or using our military for Zog? It doesn't. It doesn't. At all. So,
Substack are on Holocaust.claims about Jews, the Israeli Jews, being behind the refugee crisis, the resettlement of Arabs and Muslims into the West, mostly into Europe, but sometimes into America, is a...
He references Jews being behind the refugee crisis in white countries. Okay. How does white nationalists supporting Hamas or supporting the Palestinian cause stop Jews or stop the importation of non-whites into white countries? It doesn't. Obviously, you should focus on your own country. If you controlled your borders and ended immigration into your country, that would stop that problem. You don't, like, you can let the Israelis and Palestinians fight over who gets to have that land without immigrants from the Middle East coming into our countries simply by just closing our borders and ending immigration.
Jewish Israeli project. The Palestinians are actively fighting to stay where they are since the beginning, since October 7th. Jews and the refugee resettlement agencies that they run have been fighting to get those Palestinians out, have been fighting to move them to Europe or to the West, and they have stayed put. So you are talking about an Arab nationalist force, a nationalist group of Arabs who are blood and soil nationalists fighting for their land and their homeland.
Right here, Mike, is assuming that you don't know your history and don't know that Palestinian refugees have ended up in places like Jordan in massive refugee settlements. They don't have to come to Europe. And supporting Hamas, oh, they're fighting to stay where they're at. Well, good for them. How about we help them with that by not letting them into Europe or America? Well, sending money or material support to Hamas isn't going to change the immigration policy in your own country. So he's bringing up problems. These are downstream problems from a conflict. These are issues that are not solved by what he's arguing for.
And against a Jewish occupation, Jews that want to disperse them around the world, that want to move them into Europe, want to move them into America, want to move them into the West, as part of their further project of, you know, racial mixing, racial degeneration of all peoples, us and them. And so I support their right to, one, I support them because they're fucking...
That project requires the acquiescence of our people to allow the mixing, to allow the migration.
My enemy. They're fighting the Jews. They're fighting Israel. They're hurting them. They're killing them. Their struggle and this thing that they did on October 7th, which was like one of the most amazing attacks on a power center I've ever seen.
Right there, Mike Enoch says this is the most amazing attack on a power center he's ever seen. But he claims previously that Israel, who according to him completely controls America's military and military-industrial complex and so forth and so on. He claims that Israel is causing all of these wars. But right there, he says that Hamas made this amazing attack on a power center, which is Israel, right? So according to his bleeding heart argument that he led off with, you can justify supporting the Jews because an injustice was caused to them. Jews were killed. Jews were hurt. Jews, you know, need your support because somebody attacked them. You see, that argument works the other way around. That's why it's a terrible argument to make.
And additionally, that has also led to this massive, what the Jews themselves are complaining about is this massive upsurge and outburst in anti-Semitism worldwide because of just the hate.
That massive upsurge and outburst is also stage managed by the Jews. As we've pointed out many times before, anybody who's ever, like, you know, visited a college campus, you'll be shocked to find out that for decades, the anti-Zionist pro-Palestinian groups are frequently led by and always seem to have spokespeople that are Jews. He's ignoring the fact that there is a huge anti-Zionist, anti-State of Israel sentiment within Jews worldwide. He's ignoring the fact that the Zionist program stated that anti-Semites will be their best friend. He's ignoring this because Mike Enoch is a Jew himself. He grew up as one of these secular liberal Jews, which is the same faction of Jews that's anti-Zionist, that has argued for over 100 years with the Zionists, stating that having a nation state was a liability to the Jews, more so than it was an asset to the Jews as a whole globally.
Hatred for Israel worldwide and the outpouring of sympathy for these people. So the Jews are more discredited now than they have ever been. They're scrambling. Their power center is under attack. And I just think it's really myopic for some to not just sort of support it. And supporting it doesn't even require anything of you. Like, it's what am I doing to so-called support?
Now he said that supporting it doesn't even require anything of you, because he knows that you're not going to look up the definition of the word support, so that nobody actually knows what anything means anymore. And that's basically how these Jews use their wordy magic to fog up your brain. That's what Mike is doing. Mike is a Jew, you know, with his, I guess, high verbal IQ, that's going to use his wordy magics to mess with your brain. He's now stating that support doesn't require anything of you. Well, then it's not support, is it? If it doesn't require anything of you, then what is it? It's nothing. It's nothing. So now he's claiming that support is nothing. You don't have to do anything. It doesn't require anything of you. Then what are you actually arguing for? Because you just destroyed your own argument. You destroyed your own position. You made it very clear that what we've been saying ever since last autumn. Remember that this argument started with Taysan. This argument started and ended with us last autumn, when we pointed out that Mike Enoch and Eric Stryker and all were cheering for Hamas and telling you to donate money to Hamas. That's where this argument started. And this has been, what, how many months is this? This is July? Jeez. It's been most of a year that he's just been blowing smoke instead of admitting that he's an idiot. Just blowing smoke, trying to get you to waste your time on something that it says, he says it doesn't even require anything of you. So it's nothing.
Or Palestine, people ask me this. Well, I have a voice. I have a podcast. I'm a personality. I add my voice to theirs. I say what they're struggling for, what's right. They're struggling for what's just. I support them in their fight. They're fighting.
Right there. He just confirms. Oh, I have a voice. I'm going to support them. And what does support mean to him? It means cheering for a football team. If you cheer louder at the TV screen, then your favorite football team will win the game. That's it. He is advocating for you to be emotionally involved in a conflict on the other side of the world between two peoples that are not you. For you to get emotionally involved and cheer, and hey, look, if you cheer louder and encourage other people to cheer louder, then your side will win. And if your side wins, then the Zionist occupation government just goes poof, disappears worldwide. It just melts away. Wow, like magic. Is this magical thinking? This is retarded. This is, I mean, not retarded in a cool way. This is, if you can't see what's going on here, you are brain damaged.
Against the evil Jews, same as we are. And what else is really required? Obviously, legally, I'm not allowed to support Hamas. That's illegal in our country, but I.
Yeah, he finally admits that legally he's not allowed to support Hamas because we pointed out that he was telling people to donate money to Hamas. Look at how he's played these games. I mean, you know, this is basic identification fallacy or equivocation fallacies, right? He's making the cause of the Palestinian people equivalent to that of Hamas, right? He's playing all these weird games because he doesn't define terms up front. So now he can make a bunch of arguments, all of which are fallacious arguments. Every single one of them are terrible arguments. But, I mean, this is how people like him work. This is sophistry. He's just manipulating people. He admits that what he's arguing for is illegal. And he knows that he can't stand on that, even though he's told people to do illegal things before. Because, of course, Mike Enoch is just a Jew running a typical race-baiting honeypot. That's it. And a demoralization op on top of that. This is ridiculous.
See, no, it detracts nothing from being pro-white. It detracts nothing from any other cause to just simply say these people are also, you know, fighting against the same basic evil system, and that's it's a blood and soil nationalist movement. And
he says it detracts nothing from being pro-white, but he's also on record as saying being anti-Jew is more important than being pro-white.
So I'll just leave it there and see what
argue that it detracts on.
Oh, great. He's starting to talk now. I guess this is not being moderated like a proper debate. I thought that they were supposed to be doing opening statements from both sides, and then you would. But I guess it's not a formal debate. Cool. We'll check in next time and see what the Wigger has to say.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Welcome to The Last Retort. Tonight, we have a special one I've been looking forward to for, a couple weeks now. So tonight, of course, we are joined by the famous Mike Enoch and the famous John Fashcroft. Now, they're going to be debating. They're going to be debating whether white nationalists should support the Palestinian cause or not.
Okay, fine, I'll do it again, I'll do the thing. We left off, okay, yeah, we heard the opening arguments from, the Jew, and they were just an endless mess of logical fallacies, disingenuous statements and just, you know, general mind-twisting bullshit like you typically get from him. All trying to, ultimately leading up to, I think the takeaway from it was that supporting the Palestinian cause was not exactly defined, and he kind of came at it from a handful of different angles that amounted to it requires of you nothing. So I guess everybody can support the Palestinian cause by just doing nothing. What a fucking idiot. And that it's also illegal, which I told him last autumn when we finished this argument. I don't think there needed to be anything more said about this subject since last autumn. But, you know, here we are. Here we are. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's technically supporting the Palestinian cause is illegal. And they... Yeah, so, okay. Oh, and also, you know, supporting the Palestinian cause with your tweets. Or if you have a podcast, with your podcast is also, like, super meaningful or something. Okay, so we're going to get to hear what the Wigger has to say, and I'm certain that he will have no problem knocking down all the dumb shit that Mikey Knox says. This is going to be fun.
So I'll just leave it there and see what the, you know.
I would argue that it detracts a lot from being pro-white, especially from being pro-white in America. This has been the plan with Jews all along, right? This whole, and this, you know, we'll stick to Palestinians, right? But this whole Arab movement, right? This idea of people putting on browns, white people putting on brown skin to justify their worldview is a Jewish fucking movement. And there's precedent for this, right? For one, just in our recent time here, right, since 2016, we saw it with the Iranian movement, right? We had a guy named Jason Giordani come in. He was actually one of the guys at the MPI with Richard Spencer, came in trying to get white nationalists. He said this himself, came in to get to divert the alt-right into having sympathy for Muslim causes because he saw it going in the dangerous direction of white identity politics. He admitted this, and he admitted he was working with the Mossad on the Danny Jones podcast. Also, like, you try to say that, like, standing with the Palestinians is the moral argument, as if Hamas isn't just as fucking ghoulish, right? Like, these people are not these peaceful, noble warriors that you guys try to paint them as. They're fucking brutal. They're killers, and they always have been. They've been blowing up shit all across the world. They've blown up shit in America. They've blown up shit in the UK. And I can pull them up for you right now if you want me to. Let's find these. San Francisco, California, USA, 1973. Members of Black September assassinated two American diplomats. Los Angeles, California.
Johnny.
Jews.
John.
2002.
They're Jews. You know, those are
John,
Jews.
John, send me the link so I can pull it up for everybody so we can all see what you're talking about.
The Palestinian militant organization are Jews? Come on, man.
You wait, no, hold on. No. The people that they assassinated were. The people they killed were.
So, Mike's interrupting here. Now, Mike was allowed to speak forever. And the Wigger was totally polite and didn't interrupt Mike at all. But here, Mike's is interrupting. And he's saying, oh, those were Jews that were assassinated. This is a diversion from the point that he was making. He started out great. He's hitting on it great. He slammed a bunch of points that were great. And he was drawing a parallel, right, to he was drawing a parallel, and I like how he said the whole putting on brown skin, like white people putting on brown skin to justify their politics or something like that, right? Like, he was doing a good job here, and he got diverted trying to support his position that the whole Arab movement, Arabs commit murders and crime within our countries. And that's not really necessary. He doesn't need to do that. We all know that that happens. So it gave the Jew an opportunity to hop in there and then start causing trouble.
I don't give a fuck about an American diplomat. What the fuck does that have to do with white people? As an American, as a diplomat of the fucking Jew-occupied government, what the fuck do I give a shit of?
They're attacking in our countries. They're coming in.
The Jews run our country. What do you want? Like, kick the Jews out. It won't happen. The Jews run this country. What do you expect?
Now Mike is using my argument. Kick the Jews out and it won't happen. Well, according to Mike, he wants Israel destroyed. If you kick the Jews out, where are they going to go? You see, he wants us focused on Palestine and Israel conflict, a conflict between people that are not us on the other side of the world. And you see, like, last autumn, America allowed for any Jew coming from Israel to come to America without documentation. He also says that if you destroy Israel, then the Jews will have no power in America. Mike Enoch's narratives always conflict. These guys are off topic at this point.
Palestine winning isn't going to kick the Jews out. That's another thing, like this false dichotomy. If
yeah, that's not a false dichotomy. That's a non sequitur. It means it does not follow. So it doesn't follow that the Hamas and their allies winning against the state of Israel will kick the Jews out of white countries. And that's true. That's true. And it's good of him to point that out.
Oh, if Palestine wipes out the Jews, which is never going to happen, that's going to end all of our fucking problems. First of all, if Palestine were to win, which would never fucking happen, and that's where your argument is very dishonest, Mike, is you know.
But dishonest?
You know very well. Yes.
Wait, what's dishonest?
The Jew is like, oh, I'm dishonest? What's dishonest? It's like, dude, he's lied so many times. Remember when he used to claim to be running this political party that was actually an LLC? This guy's been caught in endless lies. I can't even recount them all the time. Anybody paying attention at even halfway to what this Jew does is he lies all the time. Now, maybe it's wrong to accuse him of lying. Maybe he's so stupid that he actually believes the garbage that he says. I don't know. Oh, also, yeah, good points there. Good points there.
Did you know Palestine can never win this war?
I don't know that at all. I actually think the Israelis are in a big, really bad spot.
That was so not convincing, Mike. That was so not convincing.
The United States, the United Kingdom, and all of the other countries in this world that are subservient to Jewish power will never let that happen, and you know it.
So, well, with your attitude, that's going to continue to be the case.
Oh, yeah. With his attitude, all it requires is for John Fashcroft to change his attitude. You just need an attitude adjustment, man. And then all of a sudden, the the policy of the United States of America and of NATO, and all the NATO countries, and all the Western countries, and even the non-NATO countries that support Israel, and by the actual definition of the word support, not just hopes and prayers and cheering like a freaking simp on the sidelines like Mike does. So yeah, anyway, it just requires an attitude adjustment, and all of a sudden, geopolitics is just going to change overnight. Just an attitude. Not with that attitude, it won't. Look, guys, this is, we've been saying this forever. This has all been predetermined. There is a policy. It doesn't matter if you got blue team or red team. It doesn't matter. Okay, America isn't, like, you're not going to have a change in policy, a policy of material and financial support for the state of Israel by both the Democrat and the Republican Party. You're just not going to have that because you said something on the internet. They're not going to change their minds. They've already decided what they're going to do. That's it. You're not going to change that. How are you going to change it? Are you going to vote the bums out? Oh, wait, no. The other bums are for sale, too. You're not going to change that. You don't have a political party. You aren't running any candidates. You don't have, like, hundreds and hundreds of people to replace those people in our government who will then change the policy of the United States, let alone that of other Western nations. So an attitude adjustment isn't going to change that. This is a dishonest position that Mike Enoch has. He's like, well, not with that attitude. It's like, come on, what?
Yes. Palestine.
So you're going to continue to make sure. Wait, you're going to continue to make sure with your attitude that Palestinians can never take over Israel, because what, you're going to support America and you're going to support. Hold on. You're going to support America and Britain in stopping that.
I'm not going to let you try to frame me as supporting Israel, because that's not the truth. What I'm saying is it's effectively what you're doing, though. People blind. No,
that's another disingenuous thing here. Mike says, that's effectively what you're doing. No. Mike is absolutely refusing to accept that there is a third position here. It's ironic that the people that talked so much about the third position so many years ago are now absolutely refusing that there is one. Also, I would note that at this point that the moderator, the host of this debate, should be stepping in, because Mike Enoch is walking all over this guy, and that's not cool. Like, this guy allowed Mike Enoch to talk and talk and talk and do his bloviation, where he did his whole scattershot argument style, where he spits out there a whole bunch of crap that's just ridiculous. And this guy didn't interrupt him. And look, here's Mike Enoch walking all over him, talking all over him, refusing to let him talk.
It's not. You are leading people blindly to a lost fucking cause that diverts attention away from white interest.
Absolutely true.
And this is what we've always been taught. We've always been taught as white people by Jews to take up other causes. This telescopic nationalism where we're taking up the causes of all these other fucking people while ignoring our own.
Sure. I have one point of privilege, I would like to respond to something you said actually earlier that was just blatantly incorrect about Jason Reza Drajani. Okay, I met Jason Reza Drajani in, I think, 2016 or something like that. It was at a meetup.
It was at a bar mitzvah.
Up in which he was actually not preaching sympathy for the Muslim Iranian government. He was suggesting, and I rejected him at this meeting, and I even said, I think this guy is some kind of fucking CIA asset.
Back when Mike was married to that B'nai B'rith Jew, did he bring his wife to this? Mike's wife told him that Giordani was from the same office as her.
Because he was suggesting that white nationalists get on board with some kind of Aryan Zoroastrian movement inside of Iran to...
Objection, relevancy. What Mike is doing here is trying to lead people off into the weeds and distract from the actual debate topic.
Overthrow the Muslim government. To overthrow it, his middle name is Reza. You know, the name of the Shah of Iran was Reza Pahlavi. So, hold on.
I meant to say Arab. I'm sorry.
They're not Arabs in Iran either.
Yes, they are.
That is... Okay. Ethnically, they are not Arabs. They're Persians.
Good job, Mike. You just paint with a broad brush a multicultural country such as Iran that has multiple ethnicities in it, some of which are actually Arab, I guess. Or maybe we could respond to this like this. Do you know what the word Arab means, Mike? It's an old Hebrew word. Yeah, it comes from ancient Hebrew. It meant mixed. And the verb tense of it means to darken. So, for instance, in the Old Testament Hebrew, when they refer to Arabs in there, they're referring to tribes that are mixed, as in mixed blood, as in to darken, as in not white. So when you look at the mixed multitudes that inhabit Iran, if you were using the word in its etymological meaning, then Fashcroft didn't misspeak at all. They're all mixed, as far as we're concerned over there. And once again, why are we so far off topic here?
Or there's a number of different ethnic groups. There are some Arabs, but it's not overwhelmingly an Arab country, okay? That's just...
Oh, okay, now you're going to correct yourself. Lovely. It's not overwhelmingly an Arab country. This is pointless. This is so far off topic in the weeds, it's stupid.
Not true. That's not right. So the reason was he wanted to get white nationalists involved in overthrowing the Islamic Republic of Iran, not in supporting it. He wants to get us involved in overthrowing it, which is something conservatives... Let me finish this, because I actually know what I'm talking about, and you don't know...
Whoa, dude, why are you saying you're sorry when he's the one who's interrupting you? Man, spending all those years simping for TRS definitely builds up some bad habits.
What you're talking about. That's not an insult. You actually just fundamentally made an error. Do you know about the Iranian Revolution?
He's not making an error. He is pointing out that someone who's not us was trying to divert white nationalists into putting their energy and attention on something that has nothing to do with our nation, let alone white nationalism, right? Mike is also trying to divert from this. That was the point. And he wasn't wrong about that.
And the Shah, and who was in power in that country prior to... Okay, so he supports the government that was in power.
Yeah, nobody cares about any of this, Mike. Just shut up, all right? This has got absolutely nothing to do with the debate topic at all.
In Iran until 1979, when the current Islamic government overthrew it, which was an anti-Jewish revolution. They kicked the Jews out of Iran.
I guess that's why there's such a large Jewish population in Iran today, huh, Mike? They kicked all the Jews out. Really? Yeah, right, dude.
And that is why so much of the foreign policy energy in America is focused on the Iranian government and overthrowing it, taking back the Shah, who was a cuck, who was one of the...
Mike's being very reductive when he tries to boil everything down to, oh, it's just about the Jews. You know, oh, no, they just kicked all the Jews out, man. It's like, and that's the only reason why America or anybody else has such an interest in Iran. Even from this story that Mike is telling you, which I doubt is actually quite accurate because he's always, you know, inaccurate and misleading people. The lesson of this story is that you should focus on your own country and kick the Jews out of your country then, right? Not that you should, you know, focus all your attention and energy on somebody else's country fighting Jews on a different continent, right?
He's... foreign policy, like he was one of these like dictators that the United States props up as part of our foreign policy to support Israel. And the Jews absolutely loved the Shah. They loved the Iranian government of the Shah. And that's why Georgiani was probably working with the Mossad, probably working with the CIA. So he was not in support of Palestine. He was not in support of Iran. He was wanting
no,
to...
No, I never said he was in support of Palestine. So, what I said,
what I said,
no, you're misrepresenting what I said, bro. That's not what I...
Are you surprised? Of course he's misrepresenting what you said. He does this constantly, all the time. He misrepresents what we say. He misrepresents what other people say. He just misrepresents things all the freaking time. What do you expect? It's Mike Enoch, man. That's what he does.
I said, what I said was he was intentionally trying to direct the alt-right away from white identity politics and into a multicultural movement to support Iran. He says this himself, bro. I didn't make this up.
Argument against what I'm saying. He was some kind of CIA. Dude,
you're missing the point of what I'm saying.
Yeah, but what Mike is saying is completely non sequitur. Has nothing to do with the debate topic. That's it.
I understand what you're trying to like equate me with him in some way, but it was opposite agenda. Mike,
that's what I'm saying.
It's an identical agenda.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this idea of getting white people to support brown fucking countries and their struggles is an old Mossad trick. It's an old Jewish trick that they've always done. And it's the same thing. The entire Free Palestine movement is run by Jews. Palestine movement is run by Jews.
In America, there's very significant segments of the protest movement that are run by Jews. I am highly critical. If you actually listen to my content, I have been highly critical of much of the leftist Palestine movement. I think that they make a lot of mistakes. I think they get themselves led down the garden path.
He thinks that they make a lot of mistakes. Dude, this is a manufactured type of resistance, okay? You know, Mike wasn't even acknowledging the fact that the Free Palestine movement was largely run by Jews and that they have Jewish spokespeople all the time until after we hammered on that one, right? He's like, oh, I've been highly critical of it. Well, whatever, dude. You're critical of it. Great. Who cares? The point is that what American foreign policy is going to be is already decided. All of this, it doesn't matter. That's it. That's all. You got Jews on both sides of the issue, largely stage managing it all. But up in the halls of power, they've already decided what they're going to do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how loudly you cheer for one side or the other. Going out there and tweeting your little fingers off isn't going to change the outcome.
By Jews, that fundamentally does not change the struggle in Palestine itself.
That's right. The only thing that's going to change things on the ground in Palestine is if we send Mike Enoch over there to fight for Palestinian freedom.
Dude, and as far as Palestine, they had a Black Lives Matter rally with the fucking Malcolm X movement. What are you talking about? In Palestine.
So what? Like whatever. Yeah, like they're gonna take support where they can get it.
It doesn't matter. They fucking kiss the feet of Negroes and they're an anti-white. The whole idea of anti-Zionism is
when was this Black Lives Matter rally? When was this Black Lives Matter rally?
I'll find it right now.
Black Lives Matter rally?
I'll even send you the fucking link.
If you give me a link, I'll put it up. We can all look at it.
For anyone who's missed it so far, the point of what he's saying is that Mike is doing the same thing as Giordani. And of course, Mike refuses to acknowledge that, which is why he's just going off into the weeds.
I want to say one other thing. You said Hamas were brutal killers. So what? They killed Jews. Why should I cry tears about that?
You were the one making the moral argument. Like, oh, they are.
They're killing their enemies.
Oh, awesome. And he says, oh, they're killing their enemies. It's moral for them to kill their enemies. Okay, so if killing your enemy is moral, Mike, then that means that it's moral for the Jews to kill us. Oh, wait. Is it like the thing where it's like, it's okay if you do it, but it's not okay if the people that you hate do it? That type of hypocrisy? That's not morality. What exactly are the morals that Mike is trying to appeal to here? Do they have any foundation? No, they don't. No, they don't. Not at all. He's just disingenuously attempting to use a moral argument from a guy who's already shown himself to be completely immoral.
They're all what, fucking, so wait, are you believing that people. They like rape babies and shit
they're
like
the
that?
Same
are you
buying people. That? I believe they rape women, yes.
Well, there's no evidence
all
that they
Arabs,
did.
All Arabs fucking rape women. We know about this. You're
so
acting like
isn't
this
it
is
better?
A new thing.
Hold on. Isn't it better that they stay in their own homeland then? Like the Palestinians are fighting to do?
Honestly, this is pathetic. The host is not moderating this at all. I guess we figured out that this was not going to be a formal debate, a structured debate. Basically, it's just get a couple of guys on my show and get some attention for my show while they fight, you know. Fashcroft should be calling him out on that. Like, there's no moderation here at all. But, yeah, whatever.
Isn't it better that they stay in there? Okay, so the Palestinians, so at the very least, you support their fight to stay in Palestine, right? To not be kicked out? Would you...
Is he talking about Palestine or Gaza? Because technically, the majority of the Palestinians are not belligerents in this conflict. Now, I am recording this in late August. And this conflict is almost a year old. And they're still not technically belligerents yet. So, once again, what are we talking about here?
Prefer that the
sure.
be kicked
I mean,
out.
Yes.
Okay,
sure.
Yes,
right
for
away.
Sure.
So there we have I'm not going to be completely unreasonable. Yes, I don't give a shit about Palestinians in Palestine or Palestinians in Palestine. Yes,
well,
I don't give a shit.
Well, yeah, they are fighting to stay in their country against Jews.
Dang it, Fash. You let this Jew brain fog get to you, man.
Trying to kick them out and send them to the West. Fundamentally, right there alone, if that is the very least of it, you should support that.
So wait a minute, guys. Do we all agree that if they do win, if Israel is crushed, they're going to drive them out. They're going to drive them back here to
yeah.
Europe.
And then where do the Jews go? And then where do the fucking Jews go, Mike?
To the fucking RNC
wins,
where they already are. Like this idea.
Right
hold
back
on a second.
Right
this
here
idea,
to America. Right
this
here
idea
to America.
That
that's the whole thing. If either side that wins, if fucking Palestinians
so,
wipe out fucking Jews and run them out of Israel, they
well,
all
they
end
wipe
up here
them
in
out,
Europe.
Then they're not going to be around at all.
If Jews.
He says that they're trying to kick him out of Palestine and send him to the West. And he's kind of crushing some things together here. Technically, Netanyahu said that he wanted to relocate them to the Sinai Peninsula. He stated this over 20 years ago, in fact, and he also stated it recently. They talked about this quite a bit at the early into this conflict. And Egypt doesn't want to take him for obvious reasons. But I think I already talked about how Egypt is actually more concerned with making money and good relations with Israel. So, yeah, of course, it's also true that I don't think that Benjamin Netanyahu is going to have a problem if he just kills like all 2 million of them and then blames us. For not taking him or something. You know, I wouldn't put it past him. You know. But once again, we've already solved this problem. You're not going to stop the importation of foreigners into your country by cheering for Hamas. You see, there's 2 million people in the Gaza Strip. And I guess I haven't checked the numbers recently, but okay, there's significantly less than 2 million now. Okay, so here's the thing. Last I heard, Joe Biden allowed in something between 7 and 9 million illegals into America last year. That's significantly more than the entire population of the Gaza Strip. we kind of have bigger problems here at home. And this is kind of what's really fascinating about this is, like, Mike is trying to make that issue as though it's going to be that big a deal. And to be quite honest, I mean, yeah, we don't want to import Palestinians to America or other Western countries. We wouldn't like that. But we have no choice. We're not going to be able to stop it if they decide to do that. We couldn't stop them shipping in 7 to 9 million illegals this year just by, super air quotes supporting closed borders by bitching about it online. Like, these are high level policies that you cannot affect. But maybe it's just not with this attitude, right? Not with this horrible attitude that those dickheads over at Taysom's got. It's your bad attitude. You know, this reminds me of one of those pay pigs that it was completely hysterical on a voice chat once. And he totally blamed the fact that Trump did not close down the American border and keep the coronavirus from coming into America and thus keep the lockdowns from happening and blah, blah, blah. He blamed all of it on Alt Skull. On the fact that Alt Skull did, like, you know, his conspiracy stuff on his channel, his Telegram, Twitter, whatever channels, you know, and he was doing his conspiracy stuff where he was questioning the whole narrative on the coronavirus, and because of Alt Skull, Trump didn't close the border, and it was all his fault. This is the same kind of mental illness of the pay pigs right here. The people that hang on Mike Enoch's every word are mentally ill in a bad way, not a fun way, not a cool way, just in a really just pathetic way. And that's really what this all turns into. I don't know if I can really do any more of this. You know, this kind of just sucks. I wonder, here, I'll check out. There's so much more. This goes on forever, guys. I could go on forever just talking about how terrible Mike Enoch is and all of his takes. Just, you know, how anti-white and how subversive all of the things that TRS has promoted over the years, that they want a memory hole, which might be the reason why it's difficult for you to get episodes, back episodes of Tedious, which is one of the great services that the guys over at Free Chads are doing for us, is archiving the Daily Shoah and other things so that you can call these guys out on this stuff. Let's think about this here. These guys promoted taking a vaccine that's dangerous to your health, and anybody who's right in their head would not take, right? Why would you promote taking a vaccine that everybody knew was going to be dangerous? If they were trying to promote what was good for white people, they would say, don't take the vaccine. They fast-tracked it through. That looks kind of dangerous. Are you sure you can trust those Jews over there at the pharmaceutical companies that made those vaccines? Wait, I thought we were supposed to hate Jews, man. Oh, no, you can love the Jews that made the vaccines for you. That's, yeah, because that'll raise the Pfizer stock price for Sven and Mike. Mike, who said, oh, I didn't take the vaccine because I knew that you dumb goyim would do it. I just bought the stock because I knew that you dumb goyim would do it. That's what he said. Man. Anybody who calls you a dumb goyim is a Jew. Okay, now here's the clip this is a clip somebody made. Apparently, it's from later on in this fake debate here. He asks if we should be, we meaning white nationalists. I don't consider myself a white nationalist because we've already talked about this one. It's a stupid term. White nationalist? That was coined back in the 60s as a reversal of black nationalism. Just like White Lives Matter is just a play off of Black Lives Matter. Come on. Come on. Seriously? You can do better than that. Talk about cultural appropriation. That's just demeaning. Calling yourself a white nationalist is demeaning. It's like, I'm not creative enough to come up with a term for myself. I have to steal the blacks' term and turn it backwards on them. It's fucking pathetic. So he's saying what they should do is, be pro-white or anti-Jew. And Fashcroft meekly gets in there, he votes for the first one.
Are we a pro-white Aryan bloodline group or an anti-Jew group? That's a good question. I would both prefer the first,
both. It's not an either or, it's both. It's fundamental. And if you want to put one first, put anti-Jew first.
Bitch, this isn't about voting. We're not voting here. There is only one right answer, and you should say that. Yeah, this isn't, I'm voting for being pro-white, but, so I guess we're voting, huh? So that means that, like, you're going to totally accept if you're voted out. If Mike Enoch gets a whole bunch of other Wignat morons to vote against you, you'll just accept that and go along with it, huh? That's fucking weak. There is only one right answer. You're to be pro-white. Mike Enoch has for several years now stated that it's more important to be anti-Jew than it is to be pro-white. And I'm here to tell you that you should be pro-white, period. What the Jews always try to do is to turn you into the cartoon racist that they scripted for you in Hollywood. And that's what Mike is doing. That's what Hammer is doing. That's what Handsome Truth is doing. That's what a whole host of other characters are doing. They want you to be the cartoon Nazi, the cartoon racist that they wrote up, that they imagined in their little Jewy brains. And they wrote it up in Hollywood, and they spit it out over and over and over and over and over again since long before we were born. They want you to become the character that they created. They created that character to slander people who were patriotic and nationalistic, who actually cared about their people. They created that character to slander whites, to slander Christians, to slander people who had conservative values, as they call them today. I know the word conservative is like this horrible word now. I'm not sure what else to call it. It's like that or the value system that Mike Enoch has, which is just satanic. It's materialistic. It's short-sighted. Right? It's a value system of no values. Right? So, no standards at all, other than just pouring more ranch down into his gut. Yeah. Like, the similarities between him and, like, King Herod are numerous. So, the point is that you should be pro-white. You should care about what is good for your nation, your extended family. And if it happens to be good for other people, so be it. That's fine. That's fine. Do you really live in such a fear-based mindset? Such a mindset of scarcity? We don't do scarcity. Are you crazy? 200 years ago, what was it, Malthus, who said that, like, oh man, we're going to like totally run out of food, man. Yeah, that's a scarcity mindset. Did we run out of food? Heck no. He was like, man, the world can't possibly sustain like another million people on it because like we're going to totally run out of food. What happens? What happens? We just come up with better ways to farm and create greater abundance, right? God blessed us with innovation. Now, granted, like, you know, maybe, just maybe, there are limits to growth. Yeah, you see that? That's like one of those UN terms. Maybe there is a limit to growth, but so far we haven't seen it. And right now what we're looking at is a massive bottleneck, you know, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe the real limit to growth is the catastrophes that happen when your society turns into this like globo homo gayplex, otherwise known as Sodom and Gomorrah or the times of Noah, right? Maybe that is the limit to growth when God's like, okay, that's enough, guys. I'm just going to crush you all and... we're gonna shrink the size of the planet down, if you know what I mean. And I'm going to destroy all your stupid, crappy strip malls and wash all this garbage away that was created by your you know, consumerist, materialist religion that you guys are worshiping all the time with your stupid return memes back to, oh, consumer heaven back in the 80s. You know, the Gen Xers thinking, oh, man, if only we could go back to the 80s when I'm, like, you know, a child and my parents take care of everything and everything's cool and I just got like a Nintendo or something. Or back into the 50s, you know, when what the prosperity of the 50s that was based off of rebuilding Europe that we blew up. Yeah, that ran out when Europe paid back the loans and rebuilt their industry and didn't need to buy stuff from us anymore. You know, like, no, you can't go back. We can only go forwards. So, return memes suck. They're fucking gay. We can only go forwards. What kind of forward do you see? Well, honestly, the thinking that Mike Enoch and TRS has stuffed into so many people's minds, and the waste of time of their crazy scams, and all the money and the effort and everything that's ever gone into TRS, NJP, or any of these other stupid... things like the GDL, right? Any of these other little cosplay shows that you guys are doing, all of that energy is a waste and frequently just detrimental. None of it is doing anything to be meaningful to moving forwards. None of these people have a vision for the future at all. And the reason why is because their vision for the future is to grift money off of you. And if they have to sell your data to do it, they will. If they have to sell you out, they will. And they have. You think these ops are the first ones that ever happened? These are all carbon copies of ops that happened previously. Decade after decade. The only difference is that they're hyper online. You know, in the age before computers, these ops happened. Same stuff over and over again. So when Mike says that it's more important to hate the Jews than it is to love your neighbor, you know he's satanic. You know he's an antichrist because he's antichrist. He's made it very clear for several years now that he and everybody on his show, everybody he's associated with, they're all antichrist, and if you're antichrist, you're anti-white. I doubt that I could actually make a list of all the different anti-white things that Mike tries to dress up as though, oh no, if you're a good white nationalist, this is what you'll do. But really what he's doing is selling you things that are detrimental to you and your family, your community, and ultimately your nation and your race. But he's dressing it up as though, oh... you should be for abortion. You should be for vaccines. You should be against the idea of self-sufficiency, right? Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's kind of like how Hammers is all about, like, he's like totally cool with banning guns. Like, maybe Alex Jones is right and Hammer really is a Democrat. I don't know, right? All these guys, they're essentially the same, right? They're selling you the perception of belonging to a group that has some sort of quick fix, but that quick fix is nothing more than a cargo cult. That's it. The quick fix is, oh yeah, just send some money to these jerks and, like, somehow things will get better, right? And I understand that it's really difficult for us to admit that we've been duped and we've been conned, right? I truly appreciate that. You know, it is one of the hardest things in life, really, to admit, and it really hurts. It really hurts to have to be like, dude, man, I'm just a fucking retard. Like, I'm a dupe. Like, I fell for it, and it's like, dude, it's okay. You fell for it. You know, we're not going to get down on you for falling for it and then realizing you were conned. We just get down on the idiots that fall for it and then try to protect the guy like Mike Enoch. The guy, they go out there and try to defend him. They go out there and attack the messenger. And those people might as well be Jews too. There's not a lot of them left now, because so many of them have just checked out. And that's ultimately part of the goal. Waste your time, burn you out, and then leave you demoralized and checked out. You know, confuse you, muddle your brain along the way, and suck a bunch of money out of you. There you go. When the net result of the advice and ideas and everything that you get from Tedious is basically destroying your experience of life, you really have to ask, does this guy really have the answers? Is this guy really operating in a way to actually improve my life or the life of my people? How many of these pay pigs just burn every day? All the time. How many of them, every single day, they're aggravated. They're burning with hatred and frustration and impotent rage. How many of them? You see how nasty they are on the internet? You see how vicious they are towards us, towards friends of ours, and towards each other. More on that later on in this episode. You'll love that. It's toxic. Listening to Tedious, listening to the Daily Showa, watching the live streams of Handsome Truth, filling your brain with all this garbage is toxic to your brain. You're literally giving yourself brain damage with it. Now, I'm not saying that they don't communicate things sometimes that are true. They have to communicate something that's true, but they're sliding into it a lot of poison. Just like they want you to slide that poison needle into your veins. Right? Yeah. They're sliding in poison. And that poison ruins the rest of it. Because, you know, you feed, you know how you feed like an aspirin to a dog? You stick the aspirin in a hot dog and they gobble it all down. And that's what this is. An older way of saying it is called the leavening of the Pharisees. The leavening is yeast, right? It's what causes bread to rise. You fold it into the bread, you mix it up into the bread, right? And then you let it rise. Well, the leavening of the Pharisees leavens the whole loaf. Alex Jones used to talk about it in this way, that it was the limited hangouts and that you would have these COINTELPRO ops that would do, say, 90% truth and 10% lies. But it's that 10% rat poison that gets you. So one of the things these guys do is that they point out a whole bunch of problems, and they're pretty good at that. You'll find this not just in like the white nationalist podcasts and material, but you'll also find this in the truther stuff. You find this in conspiracy stuff. You find this in mainstream stuff, right? Mainstream Republican, mainstream Democrat. You find this stuff everywhere. You've got all these grifters everywhere. Honestly, it's almost like the American economy runs on grift. Like, that's all we have now. Everything from the guys that are there to, like, you know, sell you life improvement to, like, the female dating coaches on TikTok, right? It's like you got grifters every different, like, niche, however you say it, type of grifter. And that's like the American grift economy. That's, you know, it's everywhere. It's so much of it. And what's interesting is that so many people here, they're really good at pointing out problems. But strangely enough, they don't give you real solutions. Other than buy my next book, get behind my paywall, you know, get involved, right? Get involved with what? Pay pig nationalism? Get involved, throw flyers, put up stickers, you know. They say, you know, you've got a lot of problems. There's a whole bunch of problems in the world. But, you know, buy my book, you know, send money to my Patreon for more information. It's like, but do you really need more information about all the problems in the world? You guys, you know, you listen to a little bit of Tedious and you basically get it, right? You get into this, stuff and you can basically just write the headlines yourself. You know, you kind of don't need them to force feed 9 hours of like brain rotting slop into your head every week. You could probably go do something more productive with yourself, and that would actually be good. And that would be healthy. That would actually develop you as a person, develop your life, you know, improve your family, improve your community, and improve your nation. You know, you can do that. Now, granted, I mean, I know there's some people that really like this or that, and they want to fill their ears with something, you know, and that's what you do. That's cool. You know, if you enjoy that as entertainment, then I'm not criticizing you sending money for your entertainment. I mean, you're going to buy a video game or pay for, you know, some form of entertainment one way or another, right? So, yeah, whatever. However, if it's anything from TRS, you know, if it's Tedious or the what is it, the Mike and Borzoi thing, you should totally go to Free Chads. We may not be able to affect any of the big high-level policy of the governments that rule over us, but we can at least work on living better lives and being better people and helping each other to live healthier lives and help each other to survive what is quite obviously a collapsing empire and ensure that there is a better future, even if we don't live to see it. And you're not going to get that by focusing on hating the Jews, being anti-Jew as essential. It's not essential. Being pro-white, yeah, sure. What does that mean? that means promoting that which is actually beneficial for you and your extended family, your nation. And if it's good for you, but is also good for other people, that's not a problem. If you focus only on what is detrimental to other people, you'll have the unintended consequence, perhaps unintended, of it being detrimental to yourself. You'll never focus on what's good for you. But if you focus on what's good for you, then, you know, sometimes that isn't in the interests of parasites. But you should always be focused on what is good for your people, not what is harmful to others. That's the wrong orientation. But that is the mental orientation that Jews have, like Mikey Nock. And that's why he advocates for it. It's a losing mentality for us. That's not the kind of mentality that our people were prosperous and powerful and, you know, lived in security with. That's not the mentality that's going to be beneficial to our people. If you focus all of your energy on hating Jews and you go, the only thing that matters is hating Jews, then you become susceptible to the little game that Mike Enoch has played that we've called him out on for many years. This whole Hamas-Israel conflict is only the most recent, like, a manifestation of the same narrative that Mikey Nock has been pushing for years, which is that, and also, by the way, other groups do this as well. I've seen a whole bunch of other guys do this as well. This is the idea that as long as they're talking ill about the Jews, then they're on our side. Well, no, that's a fallacy. That's not necessarily true. Right. And this is what allows him to pivot into the only thing that matters is being anti-Jew. This is how Sven and Mike and all those guys at TRS and all those guys who mindlessly repeat the nonsense from them can spin everything to being, oh, it's all about anti-Jew, and those people are anti-Jew, so they're on our side, so that means they're cool, so that means you need to support them or be with them or help them or whatever, right? You know? And it's like, no. What is actually essential is being pro-white. And if in the course of being pro-white, you're doing things that Jews don't want you to do, well, who cares? If not taking the vaccine that the Jews produced, that Mike Enoch the Jew wanted you to take, because in his words, you were dumb goyim, so that his stock price would rise, you're doing the opposite of what the Jews want you to, right? But you're not doing it because it's anti-Jew. You're doing it because it's what's right for you and your people. And that's the correct mental orientation to have. And the reason why Mike is always pushing that it's more important to be anti-Jew than it is to be pro-white is because Mike Enoch is anti-white. And he knows that being anti-Jew as your essential orientation is ultimately going to be detrimental for you. It's going to lead you to lose.